I'd like, while you're opening your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I would like to take a minute. It'll take more than a minute, but we got all day. So I'd like to just take a few minutes and share with you a little bit about this past week and some things the Lord is doing. And some things I believe the Lord is doing. I want to tell you, and as much that I will be sharing, I know as the days are coming, that God is doing some mighty things right now. He is really doing some mighty things. And I'll tell you, I don't want this church to miss it. If you and I drag our feet right now, we're going to miss it. I mean that. There is right now, the Spirit of God is moving in a mighty way. And you and I cannot afford to have a mindset of just routine. I'm going to church, you know, go hear a good sermon. Maybe it'll be a good sermon. And well, the preacher was kind of dead today. And you can blame deadness on the preacher, whatever. And you can blame it wherever you want to blame it. I'm putting all I know to put out and seeking God and trust you're doing the same. But there is such a temptation right now for us to get so caught up in what we're doing and what we even have to do to provide for our families that if we're not very, very careful, we will lose sight of why we are here. What is going on in our lives in the midst of this church is primary, not secondary. It's primary. We should build our families with an eye to building the church.
Right.
We don't build our families separate from the church. We build our families with an eye to building the church because that is our goal, is to build the church so that we might arrive at the fullness of Christ. The pastor said it this morning. We're not just going to heaven. We're going to see Jesus, but we're not going to see Jesus if we're not like Jesus. Our purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the goal of your life. Your goal is not really to make heaven. That is going to be a secondary thing that's going to take place. My goal is to be like Jesus. My goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ and desire to be like Him and want to see Him. And if I am like Him, I will want to see Him and I will see Him. But if I'm not like Him, I'm not going to go where He is. Because the only people that enter glory are those that are like Jesus Christ. That's it. And if you're not conformed to that image, there's only one person that's accepted. There's only one humanity that is accepted in heaven. And it's the humanity of Jesus Christ. And if we don't have that humanity in us and that spirit in us, you and I aren't going to make it. We're not going to make it. Not just to heaven, but eternity. And I'll tell you, it's exciting. And I just wanted to impress, I pray, that God will help us. In the days to come, not just this morning, but in the days to come, that we are at a very critical hour. We have a great opportunity that is before us. And if you and I will lay hold of that eternity and lay hold of that opportunity that is in front of us right now and do everything we can with all of our might, stay on our face before God, be filled with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are going to see mighty things. If we drag our feet, if we dawdle, if we just tiptoe around and we just go through a routine, we are going to miss it.
Amen.
We're going to die. We're going to limp along. And we're not going to be a part of what God's going to do in this final hour prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't intend to limp alone. I intend to dig more than I've ever dug. And I intend to be there and to be excited and to live for what Jesus is doing. We had a wonderful meeting. I did preach for my mother and her church there. And the church that is there, not so much her church, but the church that is there. They gather together and just having basically some Bible studies is about all they can do. Pretty much a church of women. It's a sad thing. It really is. But they're doing the best they can. That's all they've got. And they're doing the best they can to meet. And the Lord gave me a message to share with them and strengthen them. It was a little bit on the humorous side. They don't have any music. They have zero musicians. And I got up, of course, to play the piano. And the one only man that's in the church, he was leading the service. And he of course, had me lead the singing. And he said, "We just don't get this very often." So I sang three songs. We led three congregational hymns. And then he said, all right, we just don't get this, so we're going to have a testimony. And after each testimony, each person going to testify in here. We don't have a lot of folks, so everybody's going to testify. And between testimonies, we're going to sing a song. I was going to wear me out on the piano before I ever made the pulpit. And so we had three congregational hymns. We took up an offering and had a congregational hymn. We had a testimony and had a congregational hymn. I had him combine a few of those testimonies because, I mean, I was going to end up singing about 12 congregational hymns here. I'd like to get to the preaching at some point here tonight. But he said, we just don't get it. We're going to make the most out of it. I'd already worked a hard day's work. I was tired too, and I was having to push. God, you got to help me. But I squeezed in a couple of testimonies, and then I said, all right, folks, we're going to sing two verses of a song and have a testimony, and then come back and catch a third verse. Though I don't know, we must sing six or seven congregational hymns. Had a good time. I mean, I'm glad for it. Folks were a little bit weary, but God helped me to minister His Word. I shared a message with them that God had laid on my heart that those day or so before, and was able to strengthen them. And my mother was telling my wife afterwards how she was so glad for it because it really spoke to some people. You think it's tough sometimes? You're here. We have more in this church right now today, even with many of our crowd missing. We've got more in this church than many people have gathering right now today in their service. It's not the number, folks. We want more. I want this place full of people. But we've got to get it out of our mindset. The pastor was right this morning. We've got to get it out of our mindset that just because a few folks aren't here, we need to lay back and not have it. No, sir. We don't have to have it. We want everybody here, but there are times when they're not. But the most important thing is that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are present, and we can feel the power of God, and we can still carry on. Amen? Amen. We must, because the people in this church are not the source of our life. Jesus is the source of our spiritual life. Yes. We went to Harrisonburg. I finally got away. Had a lot of work to do and things to accomplish at my mother's. And we got to Harrisonburg. Enough time to change clothes, grab a bite to eat, and get to church on Thursday afternoon. And had a good service Thursday night. Brother Greg Roberts, who was intended to be the night speaker for the camp meeting, the convention, is seriously ill. He really needs prayer. I don't know all the facts and details. Brother Powers only stated that he has had a... Roberts has had an operation. He had a huge mass removed from his body. I don't know whether it was cancer. I don't know about any of that. He was full of clamps and staples and everything. And when they took out those clamps, infection ran out. He got infected, and they've had to draw that out of him and try to minister. And he even was going to try to come. Brother Power said, no way, man, you're going to stay home and get better. But remember Brother Greg Roberts in prayer. He's a good preacher. And I'm going to tell you something. I really don't want to lose any gospel preacher right now. If there's any man out there that is preaching truth, he may not preach it in the same style or whatever that I or another man may preach it. But I'm telling you, if he is a man of God and he's full of the Holy Ghost and he's preaching truth, we don't need to lose any of them right now, church. And this man's not really an old man. I mean, he's got years, I believe, ahead of him. The church needs to get a hold of God and see miracles take place, because we need every saint and minister of God sharing the Word. And I'd like you to remember Brother Greg Roberts in prayer. So Brother Powers had Thursday night Brother Ochoa. Brother Ochoa was the man that was considered taking the church at Wilson. He did not do so. He's from Brother Mark Hatfield's church in Ohio. He preached a really good message. I enjoyed his ministry. I brought home his card. We're going to talk with the elders about the possibility of having him come and speak for us. But he is a man that obviously studies. I could tell that he spent time in the Word of God, stuck to his message. He preached a good message, and people really were enjoyed by it. The anointing of the Lord was upon the man, and I really enjoyed. I didn't know it. We went up. He called the minister to the platform. I was sitting on the platform, and when I went up, I shook the man's hand beside me, gave him my name, and he looked at me, he told me his name, but I just didn't catch it. There's a lot of noise in the place. Of course, the speakers are pretty loud in there, and it's a convention hall, it's a metal building, but the sound kind of reverberates a little bit too. But anyway, a lot of people, I don't know, three, four, maybe about 300 people the first night or so. And I was sitting beside this man the whole service just worshiping the Lord and him too. And I always wondered who Brother Ochoa was. And when he called the man to preach, Here he was, the man sitting right beside me. I can't believe this. And he said, Brother Woods, he already knew me. He said, I've heard a lot of your tapes. And he said, I already knew you, but I didn't know who he was. But I was glad to make his acquaintance and looking forward to spending more time with him. But indeed, I believe a man that loves God. We were able to meet several ministers, and I thank the Lord for that. Let me tell you something. Why meetings of such nature as this are important for you. You need to break up the routine once in a while, for one thing. Now, sometimes everybody just can't go. I understand that. But for me, I learned something. Being there, I got to meet a lot of people, and I met other folks. If we sometimes don't get out of our shell, we don't broaden our world. And when your world is too small, you'll get bored. You'll get locked in. You'll think, woe is me. I have nothing to do. I can't go anywhere. It doesn't have to be at a convention. Knock on the door. Meet your neighbor. Go meet someone. Go do something to make a new acquaintance in your life. Because I'm telling you, it is important. Now, realize that. I thank God for our camp meetings. But I do thank the Lord for opportunities of such a nature as this. And when you are able, I just want to encourage you. I know everybody can't do it. It's going to get tighter economically. I understand. I'm not in any way trying to castigate you. I'm just trying to encourage you that I learned, for me, a valuable lesson, how important it is to get out and broaden your horizons. There's one of the things that's going to broaden the outreach of this church, and it's when you reach out. That's what outreach is, reaching out. And if you and I don't reach out, we're not going to broaden the horizons of our own lives and our own ministry. We've got to be able to find new acquaintances, keep and maintain old acquaintances, but reaching out to more people. And I just really thank the Lord for that opportunity. And I did get to meet a lot of people. It just seemed like some folks seemed to kind of gravitate. And we kind of meshed with a few people more than others. Spent a lot of time, and I might not get beyond sharing. I just feel the need to do this today, here this morning. But we spent quite a bit of time with a man by the name of Brother Rick DeRosa. How many have heard of Brother Rick DeRosa? You know him? How many folks have been paying any attention to what's going on in Africa? You may not have seen this. But Brother Rick DeRosa, I've talked to you about Brother Nathan Davis. You know Brother Nathan Davis. I hope he's going to be with us sometime soon. Got to meet him. Well, I've already met him. Got to meet his wife and children. But Brother Rick DeRosa is his brother-in-law. He is a teacher in the Scriptures, a Bible teacher. He has been to Mexico several times. He speaks some Spanish. He just came back from Africa, and he has been in Africa teaching the Bible school that Brother Powers has got started there, I believe on the orphanage grounds. And he has went to several of the villages and churches. New churches are being started. How many saw? I don't know if you saw it. Did I not put some papers? Did we not just get some papers from Brother Powers, or am I dreaming? I think I got a letter and you guys didn't. I thought I put that in here. But anyway, they had an accident. How many folks heard about the truck accident? You heard about that? All right, good. I'm not totally speaking strange words. For those of you that don't know, Brother DeRosa was at a church, I want to say in Ganja. He had been there. It's out in the sticks, and they were on their way home. He's going down the road, and he really felt impressed. The Lord didn't have his seatbelt on. It's not a law there. But he just really felt impressed about four men in the vehicle, I believe, four people. And he really felt impressed to put his seatbelt on. And it wasn't just a little further down the road that Brother DeRosa, there was a motorcycle that just came right out in front of him, right across the path. He couldn't avoid him. Hit the man on the motorcycle, killed him. The man on the motorcycle was killed. Went out over, hit and struck another vehicle, killed three or four people, I believe, in that vehicle. And none of the people in the vehicle that was with the Landmark Missions, with Brother DeRosa and the other men with them, none of them were killed. They were injured somewhat. Brother DeRosa broke some ribs or cracked some ribs. He didn't go to the doctor or anything, but he ain't nothing you can do about a cracked rib anyway, but just go on, let the thing heal up. He's bruised, and he was still walking pretty, I wanted to say, he wasn't stiff-necked, but he was stiff-backed. He was still walking around kind of stiff and at the convention. But I'll tell you something, when you've had a crash, and if you looked at any pictures of that vehicle and you realized there's only one thing that kept him, and it was the hand of Almighty God. Several other people in the accident were killed, but he was, and the people there were spared. The vehicle was totaled. Another vehicle is going to have to be purchased. And I just thank the Lord. But Brother DeRoche has been there. He's been there for several months away from his wife and children teaching. He is going to have the summer here back in the States. He's going back this fall to teach again. I do not know if his family is going with him or not, but it is a great sacrifice. I have a lot of respect for a man that is willing to do this, and God sends him, and he has spent time there in Africa, and there is a tremendous work. I can't tell it to you like Brother Powers has shared with us, but there was a lot of things shared with what's going on there in the Rift Valley. There is land in the Rift Valley that by the Maasai people that has been donated. They donated, I believe, 200 acres to Brother Powers and to Landmark Missions, I should say, and understanding that this land is not purchasable. There was a man that, or several investors that have tried to come in there, and before this, there was some investors come in there, and they purchased 300 acres, I believe it was, from one of the Maasai people, a section of land. And to develop it, because it's very close to some of the wild wilderness and habitat. They have some tree-climbing lions that are in the area, and it's very close. They want them to develop it. You know, it could be a huge a place for tourists and all these safari people that come over to visit Africa and see those kind of sites of nature. And the Maasai government went, put this man in jail for selling the land, and made him give the money back to the buyers, because this is Maasai land and it is absolutely against their law for anybody to sell it. Against their law for any one of their people to sell that land. It's their land. It's tribal land. It's their heritage, and they're not going to let it go. Yet they donated. They gave 200 acres to Landmark Missions to say, if you'll build a church here and a Bible school, it'll be the first church in this valley. First ever church in this valley. I'm telling you that God is opening doors that have never ever been opened, and the gospel is going to a people who have never ever ever heard the gospel before. I saw pictures while I was there. One brother showed us a picture of a church. Brother, actually, it was Brother Powers. Before I left on Saturday afternoon, he had just received an email from some of the people that were over there. And he shared with me earlier, and I want to say something in connection to that. He had five Maasai men who had been converted, were born again, and they wanted to come to the United States to evangelize America.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That's how bad it's getting. When we need missionaries to come to our soil, that's where we are. And they wanted to come and tell us about Jesus Christ. They couldn't get their visas. They tried. The government will deny them and deny them their visas. They'll give it to a Muslim, won't give it to a Christian. And Muslims, it's amazing what they can get by with and what they can get. And this country will cater to them and bow their knees to them. And yet these five men wanted to come and could not. Tried to get visas and could not get here. But they wanted to share their testimony. They wanted to tell what Jesus was doing. And God is doing mighty, mighty miracles. And Brother Powers showed me an email he'd gotten that Saturday morning from some of them over there. They wanted to be here, could not be here with the convention, but he showed me churches that a church that they had built. I couldn't remember if this was in Ganja exactly where this was. They built this church out of I want to say pretty much sticks, little small logs or trees or whatever. And the Maasai people were building this, and then there are several Maasai that don't want the gospel. And they come and tore the church down. He showed me a picture of the pastor. Brother Powers met him when he was there. He said, I knelt down beside that man to pray and could see the scars in the top of his head. The Maasai came and got him and beat him just literally just beat that man, and because he was a Christian, because he was preaching the gospel, tore their church down. They're now meeting under a tree, meeting out in the open under a tree. They have no place to meet because their church has been destroyed. And of course, another one, I guess, is going to have to be rebuilt for them. But I am telling you, there are people there on a daily basis. Many of their wives, some of the Christian wives, I think, were just taken, or their wives were taken from them. And it's amazing that, many of the converts are women. As a matter of fact, they're coming to Christ. They get saved. They give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they go back, and their husbands will beat them mercilessly. And I am telling you, they are constantly suffering for their faith. Constantly suffering for their faith. It is amazing the things that are taking place. That's something that came to my mind. I wanted to share it with you. Maybe it'll come here in a moment. But what is happening in the midst of those people, I thought about it. He shared with me, here's how the power of God is moving. You know, these people are steeped in witchcraft. They're steeped in all kinds of Satanism. Brother Powers told the story. You heard about it. How they were taking their children. And the government doesn't do anything to stop them. They go to the mountain called Fire Mountain. They take their children to the top of the mountain. Huge fire. They offer their babies to the fire, to the God of the mountain. But the Powers, of course, went over. He preached the gospel to them. And against that, their chief has come out now, made a resolution. Don't take your babies anymore to the mountain. They're trying to stop. He said that the chiefs, you know the story. They've got the chiefs together and said, we want you to come and preach to us the gospel. Tell our people about your God. Tell our people and reach them with the gospel. And it's just an amazing thing. Their daughters at 12, 11, 13 years of age, I should know it's more like around 10 or 11 years of age, are sold to Maasai men, older men, as wives. They are already married by the time they're 10 or 13. By the time they're 13 or 14, they've done had 3 or 4 babies. And they are sexually abused. And they are sold for a cow, for a sheep, or something. Men are selling their daughters. And they want to stop this immoral practice of selling their daughters as slaves in such a fashion, to be used at such an early age and sexually abused. And it's a terrible thing. And the chiefs are saying, come. And they're seeking to stop this practice. I'm telling you, when the gospel comes to you, it radically, radically, radically changes your life. And it burdens me sometimes in this nation when we have people that come to God or supposedly come to God and there's absolutely no change in their life. I'm telling you, there's a change in your life. These people are full of all kinds of jewelry and earrings and jewels. There, when you get saved, the Messiah leaders, the gospel leaders, go up to you as soon as you get saved and start pulling the jewelry off of you. Say, we'll try that one here in the States. They go up to you. They pull the rings out of your ear. They pull the rings out of your nose. They pull the bracelets off. They let you know. That goes first, because these are the symbols of witchcraft. And if we could understand some of those associations, we might not be so prone to have jewelry in this nation. But I'm telling you, those have been the association. Go back in the Bible and you'll find it there, verified in the Scripture, that jewelry has always had an association with idolatry. And the first thing they do is pull off those symbols of idolatry and witchcraft with which they have been revived. I mean, they do it for you. You ain't got to worry about doing it. They'll do it for you. But that's where they are. And amazing things are just going on. They've got to build a garage. They're seeking to build a garage for a vehicle over there. They have got to build housing for missionaries that are coming. They're working to train natives. They've got more students coming. They've got Bible schools to build. They've got acreage that has been donated to them for churches to be built. They have acreage that was donated. The whole top of a mountain was donated for a radio tower that will reach absolutely millions. I think 15 million people will hear the Word of God. And you must understand that already in this area, the charismatic influence, the vile junk of TBN has already reached much of Africa. And in some of these areas, not in the areas I've shared with you where the gospel is first being preached, but in some of these other areas, because many invitations are coming to Brother Powers. I forget where he went to in one of the countries, but the president's of the country, I believe the president's wife, came to him and wanted to meet him. It may not be making much here, but it's making national headlines over there where they are. And what's taking place with the ministry is making national news, national papers. And it's amazing what God is doing. The president of the country on down, and he's getting many invitations to go to churches and preach and be at various places. But the fact of the matter is, these churches are already under the influence of the harlot church. They've already, the series I did on the harlot church has already been made its way through some of the parts of Africa. And it is amazing how the junk of TBN, I'm telling you, we need to pray and God shuts that mess down and judges it. I'm telling you, it's garbage and it's infiltrating the world. I go to Mexico and I see it. When I'm in Mexico, they're inundated with that stuff. They've got their TV stations. And I remember, I've seen some of TBN. Yeah, we're preaching the gospel around the world. No, they're not preaching the gospel. They're taking a false gospel around the world. It's keeping these people in the enslavement of the world. And it is an absolute mess. My wife just told me, here we met some folks from Charlotte again that we hadn't seen for about 17 years. It was really good to see them and be with them. And was telling my wife that the son of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker has now, I think, taken back over the old PTL. And he is basically, he's full of tattoos and all kinds of mess. And he's opened it up, bringing folks in who don't want traditional church. I'm telling you something right now. Church, it's amazing how far we have gone from God and what we are calling. And we're trying to do anything we can get folks in. We'll sell out any principle of the Word of God. I say no. The Word of God is right. God, Paul said, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. I'm telling you, still the preaching of the cross, it may be foolishness to this world, but God's going to use it to save them that believe, and nothing less than the pure preaching of the gospel is going to produce pure converts unto Jesus Christ. And we need to pray that God helps us to reach these areas and shuts down some of this mess that's being piped over there through a TV sewer line to get in there. And they've got their own stations and their own languages that are pumping this junk from this nation. And we need to pray that it shuts down. How many believe God can do that? Amen?
Amen.
God can do that, church. We need to pray. We need to pray for the work in Africa, that God does a mighty work. Pray for Brother Powers. There's a lot of pressure he's under. I saw on the back wall of the church a plaque that had been given to him just recently, I think, before the convention, celebrating or honoring, rather, his 50th trip to Africa. He's made 50 trips to Africa. And there is a tremendous, and the work is growing almost at such a pace that they can hardly keep up with it. They need workers. We need to pray for workers. We need to pray God does a mighty thing and the Spirit of God moves and touches natives and educate them. I shared some with the Bible teacher, Brother DeRosha. He was driving the car, the vehicle that wrecked, and I asked him a little bit about the curriculum they were using and what they were teaching, and he says, it's amazing. He said, here's where it is. These folks come. They have nothing. Many of them have not even had a Bible. They want to come to Bible school, not even had a Bible. And some of these are ministers, and they know very little of God's Word. And he shared with me that the Swahili translation is a pretty pitiful translation. Giving them a Bible is the best we can do right now for them. Many of them don't read English, and some of them don't read very well. But he was saying the Swahili translation is really troublesome. It's the best they've got. Well, you just do with what you've got and ask God to help us. But he said, I spent a whole day teaching on justification by faith. I mean, just explain very simple terms, he said. Just explain it. And he has to do a lot of this to a translator. Explaining justification by faith. There are many that do understand English, but there are some that don't. And explain this. And he said, I got done at the end of the day. He said, I asked, okay, how are we justified? Guy raised his hand in the class and says, by works. He said, I wanted to cry. No! no, 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 double no. And that's the struggle. And he said, I'm having to keep it so basic just to share with them the basic truths of the gospel. And I'm telling you to instruct people. Folks, it's not an automatic thing. We've got to learn, and they've got to learn, and they need help. And pray for these men that are there teaching and sharing with them the word of the living God. And I tell you how I don't know, God is just moving in many ways. There's just a lot that is really being done, but folks are being saved, and they've got now a need to build a place for infants. There are babies that are just abandoned, and they want to reach some of these children. They have nothing. They're abandoned, and they need a place that they can keep infants and babies and be able to nurture them and minister them to grow them. And I'm telling you, they don't have a large variety in a diet. But, you know, it's amazing how some people think. Brother Powers was sharing with me. He said, you know what? One man came to me and says, you know, why do you feed them all that? Why don't you just, I've seen on TV, why don't you just give them a little cup of porridge? That's all they give them, a little cup of mush. That's all they give them. How many of you want your kids to have a little cup of mush and living on that? And that's sick. That's sad. And they're not getting a great diet, but I mean, you know, they give them some rice and beans and things that it's not any great variety. Like, it's not all that we have here, but it is sufficient to sustain them. But we've got an obligation to minister to those children that are there. If they're under our care, we ought to do the best we can do for them. That's just the way we ought to do. And I don't think just because someone's in a different country that I ought to put my nose down on them and say, hey, you know, God's blessed me and not you. No, that's not the case. But you would be amazed sometimes. Brother Power said folks came to him and asked him, you know, well, what do you do with all the money? You know, that's sad. That's so sad. You have to be totally ignorant to ask that kind of question. It's totally ignorant. And I mean, just ask. You can make a $40,000, $50,000 a year salary here, and it can go out the window so fast as nothing. I mean, $20,000 can go out the window here so fast. And I mean, how would you feel? What do y'all do with all your money? Well, I mean, there's insurance, there's taxes, there's the light bill, there's the gas bill. I mean, you can just go on and on. The price of gas, I think it's about $7 a gallon or $8 a gallon in Africa, by the way. And it's amazing how much costs. He talked about breaking down out in the middle of nowhere. Some bolts came loose, lost a ball joint on a vehicle. I mean, they're out in the middle of nowhere. I think, I don't even know if they had a flashlight. Someone, somehow they got a hold of a motorcycle. Brother Power said, I rode on the back of a motorcycle through the wilderness with someone. And he said, I found out, got on that thing, and this guy can't drive. He said, we're going everywhere like this. And I reckon he's holding on to the skin of his teeth. And he said, later here comes the other three guys with suitcases on one of them little old three-wheel bikes. You've seen one of them little three-wheel scooters. Them guys kind of piled on that thing, I reckon, with their suitcases. And he said, he talked about just a set of brakes and rotors can cost several hundred dollars over there. And just, you know, I know some people, so you can have that here as well. But the cost of sometimes keeping up with things is tremendous. I hadn't planned to share all this with you this morning, but hopefully it will be helpful to you, because I feel that we're a part of that, and we have been made a part of that. I know we're not there, we're not in Africa, but we need to know what's going on, and we need to be able to give and give from the bottom of our hearts to support it. You say that's biblical? Yes, it's biblical. Go to 3 John, and John talks about those that come and they're preaching, bidding them God's speed. But what is it to bid God's speed? You bring them in, you help them, you give what you can to help them on the way if they're doing the work of God. Jesus said, if someone's not against me, they're for me. And he said, any man that speaks in my name, he said, don't cast him out. I mean, if he is with us, then you and I are part of that, and we need to support that. And the word of God, and I do believe the true gospel is being preached. It's a message of holiness. It's a message of Pentecost. And you and I need to support that. I firmly believe that God has not blessed us in America for us to hoard it up and say, God bless America. He's blessed us so we can help others that are less fortunate than you and I are. And we have been blessed tremendously. That was, again, it's kind of a summary of the things he shared with us about Africa. They are working. They are now, they went to Tanzania. They've got to work in Kenya. And they're wanting to reach out to other countries that are in Africa. So they had a big chart in several other countries that are around there that they're trying to call her in and reach. And doors are opening up. Folks, you know what? There is an amazing thing that could happen with this. There is a lot of people that could be reached in Africa. And we could have a big handle in that if we'll be faithful to God and we'll keep digging and keep praying. It's not just for us to just get excited about a little bit once in a while. We need to keep it in our prayers. And we need to ask God to minister and meet needs. And I thank the Lord, the Bibles that people are getting. And I know maybe there might be some translation problems, but it's enough that God can give them the Word. They can get what they need to get saved and get on their feet and get going. And the other can be had in teaching and whatever may need to be corrected. But I'm telling you, there's a hunger there for the Word of God. I saw it in various ways and actions. It's just amazing. And he said, folks, even tell them, if you can't bring, you know, we'd like to have food in the Bible, but if you can't bring food, bring the Bible. They want that more than anything. And people that will walk miles, they've got a need to get a tent. They've got a need to build a platform so they can take a trailer into these areas. They want to be able to raise that platform, just have it fastened by pins, take and raise it up for a stage. Because they're going out to the middle of nowhere. They have to have generators. There's no electricity. They go out, they have generators, and they go out in the middle, in the middle of the wilderness and preaching the gospel. And folks are just coming out of the jungle, everywhere else they can come, all across the bush area and coming out to hear the word of the Lord. So I challenge you that if you want to lay your treasures up in heaven, I firmly believe it's a good investment right here to give and help and bless somebody that can be brought to the gospel, because it's happening by the hundreds. And I thank the Lord for it. Thursday night, Brother Powers came to me and asked me if I would address the pastors on Saturday morning at a breakfast. I shared with him that I would. Friday afternoon was a service at 2:30. Brother Mark Hatfield preached, did a fine job. He preached on faith and being faithful, rather. And God just really used and ministered through him in a wonderful way. It was a good message. And God really moved. The Spirit of the Lord was really there strong. Friday night was really good at the rally. I'm going to estimate 500 people. I really don't know. I'm not really good at estimating the size of crowds. I'm estimating it was probably somewhere in that range, 500-600 maybe. I really don't know. The place was fairly full. There were some empty seats that were there. One of the state legislators, Brother Powers, had just met about a week before the convention. It was one of the state legislators from the state of Virginia. Had found a flyer of Brother Keith Powers. Now, let me tell you where we're at, and I'm going to back up here a little bit. Brother Powers went a few days before the convention with a flyer. Am I boring you all? All right, are you with me? Say amen. I'm looking around here. Is everybody awake? He took a flyer to the local newspaper to have it printed, just as an advertisement, pay, ready to pay, to have this placed in the newspaper as an advertisement for the rally. Well, of course, it was a take a stand rally, and specifically stated taking a stand against homosexuals and things of such nature. It was against homosexuals and against taking prayer out of school, against, you know, standing up for our armed forces and our men who are fighting in the armed forces of America. But the newspaper refused to print it. He went to the editor. The editor wasn't in. He left a message for the editor to call him. Got a hold of the editor. Editor got on the phone, called him, wanted to start chewing him out. And Brother Powers stopped him and said, "No, no, 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 no. You are refusing to print this, and I know why." He said, "We have lost our Second Amendment rights, or our First Amendment rights that the freedom of speech, that we allow a Muslim to have freedom of speech and a homosexual to have freedom of speech, but the Christians can't have freedom of speech anymore." They absolutely refused to print his advertisement. Where have we come to? And then he gets up to us during the convention, reads the day's paper in which the advertisement should have come out. Front page news, California. Here's what's happening. A law has been passed that they are now going to have to teach gay history right alongside of the history of America and black history. California schools, they're going to have to teach it, and it's going to become an absolute public school requirement. I think, where are we going? Gay history. They're not an ethnic group. They're not a nation. They're not a people that has been brought out of, they have some kind of inheritance or background. It's a perverted sexual lifestyle, and it has no business being promoted or being taught, and there is no history worth mentioning. The history of it is the history of sin since the beginning of time. It's not a people. It's not a nation. It's not an ethnic group. That's where we are. We've got people and we're afraid. I'm telling you, there is a fear in this nation. Do you know really in this nation, though, the homosexuals are really a minority? There's only about 1% or so of this nation that's actually homosexual. And yet they have a larger voice than Christians, who outnumber them by the droves. It is time for us to stand up, church. We need to let everywhere we can, everywhere we can cry out, you and I are going to have to stand up for what is right. The state legislator that came gave a wonderful speech. He came, he spoke. Him and his wife were there. He said, he was the only one that came. I think other men were invited. They would not come. But he came, and he'd only known Brother Powers for a week, and he got an earful that night. I'm telling you, he got it full throttle. And Brother Powers preaching, I don't know if he even started preaching before 10 or 10:30 that night. We'd already been going for probably 3 hours or so and had two or three messages before he ever got up to preach. And so we had quite a lengthy service. And Brother, the state legislator, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but he spoke, he talked about what was happening, and he has introduced various bills in the state of Virginia. He has at least been able to, in the state of Virginia, he said, we had more state oversight and more state requirements for a barber shop than an abortion clinic. There was absolutely no state overseership or regulations in reference to an abortion clinic. More for a barbership. Where are we, church? And he has introduced legislation and got it passed. Thanks be to the Lord God. Got it passed in the state of Virginia to at least, they can't get rid of the clinics, but at least they can start regulating them and putting something on them. We get regulated everywhere else. They ought to get regulated too. And at least something could be done. And it's just a start. The goal is to get rid of it altogether, obviously. But the fact of the matter is, at least one man was standing. He said, I'm not worried about whether I get elected next time. If God wants me elected, I'll get elected. If I do, he said, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm not afraid to tell that Jesus is my Savior, and I'm not afraid to speak against these things that are going wrong in our world. And he talked about several other things that he's doing to introduce legislation. Brother Power said, I didn't even know these kind of legislators existed. So it was a good thing to meet him. We met a man. I am so apologizing that I do not have their names with me. But another minister was so interesting. I let you know this so you can know some things that are going on. I hope encouraging you. I hadn't even planned all this morning. But this man, he goes and he preaches on college campuses, primarily on college campuses. He feels it's what God called him to do. And he's a holiness man. He got up and spoke, but he didn't speak with probably great fire. It's a sad thing that some folks almost shut him off because he wasn't real demonstrative. But I'm telling you, the man had something to say. And here's a man. He goes on college campuses, and he goes to fight the liberalism and the message there. And he goes to their events and their concerts. He's got him a bullhorn. And he's got his Bible. And he goes out and he preaches. He goes. He's went to a Lady Gaga concert. Now, if you don't know her, I'm glad. All right. Extreme perversion. And he said, but he goes not. He goes and stands at entrances or wherever and preaches to people as they come in. He's been in the Mardi Gras in Louisiana. And Baton Rouge, been to the Mardi Gras. He said, I'll tell you what they think of Christians there. They fill up a 5-gallon bucket with human defecation and throw it on the Christians as they come by. This man has had human waste thrown on him. He was recently, I think it was at the, I can't remember if it was a, no, I think it was some gay rally that he went to preach to them. And some party, whenever they came, he said he wasn't there just a few minutes when he started preaching, that the local security came, put him on the ground, beat him, was thumping on him and handcuffed him. And finally somebody said, called the police. First thing the police did when they got there, because he asked the folks that were doing this, do you have authority to bind me like this? Of course they did not. They didn't have authority to do it. They were doing it anyway. And he took, The first thing the police did when they got there is said, unhandcuff him. They told him, you cannot preach right here. So he, but you can go across the street. So he went across the street. After they beat him up, went across the street, got his bullhorn and kept on preaching to him. I'm telling you, I didn't even know folks existed like that in America. I said, God bless this man and help this man and give him strength and power to minister. It is a unique calling, but I am telling you that there is a need. And here's a man that's willing to go in some of the trenches that we would never dare darken and proclaim the name. I don't know what success he's had, but But one thing it'll be is it'll be a witness against them on the day of judgment while they're in their filth. A man tried to stand in their midst and preach to them. He has been imprisoned several times. He has been put in jail several times. He's been beaten up. He's had all kinds of mess thrown on him, from human waste to, I guess, anything else, rotten vegetables, whatever anybody can find to do it. And that's in America, all right? Now, we're not talking about some foreign country. That's in this nation. And not for hurting anybody, not for abusing anybody, simply for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that stirred me. He read to us the very statistics of homosexuality. And I'm going to be sharing some of that with you. By the help and grace of God, God's laying some things in my heart. In a future message, I'll be sharing some of that with you. But I'm telling you, we have a nation presently that is being controlled by a very small minority. You and I have not only a right, but we have a responsibility. If we didn't have a right, we have a responsibility to stand up. And I'm asking God for a greater boldness and for doors and areas in our own city where you and I can make a public stand and let this world know we do not believe in this mess. Now I'm going to tell you a story. I've told you all kinds of stories. Brother Powers is a unique man. But I'm going to tell you where we are. He went in. He said, he was telling us, he said, I went into a public restroom. Was it a rest area? Where at? Virginia? I don't know where is that, but he went in a rest stop. I know it was an American. But he went in a rest stop. Walked in the men's room. And one of the stall doors was partially open. And he said there was some giggly-headed young fella with his pants down, trying to seduce Brother Powers. He said, before I know it, I kicked the door of that bathroom open, grabbed him by the back of the neck, yanked him out of that stall, put a foot in his backside and said, if you don't pull your pants up, I'm going to beat the tar out of you. He said, another one ran out of the stall, ran out the door. He said, I walked out behind him and told the caretaker was there. He said, if you don't call the law, I'm going to beat him to death. He said, the guy said, beat him. They said, you can be sued. He said, sue me. Now, I know you might think that's a little bit strong, but you listen to me for a minute. I'm going to tell you something. He said, they got in their car. They hightailed it down the road. And you might think, that's a little bit tough. That's a little bit harsh. Is it? What would you do if you went in a public area and a man was raping a woman? Or someone was beating up a little kid. We have a responsibility to grab a hold of that person and do everything we can to stop that. We shouldn't just sit back and say, oh, just let it go. We have forgotten homosexuality. I don't care what the nation says about it. In the eyes of God, it is a criminal act against society and against the law of God. You know what God's punishment were for homosexuals? Capital punishment. Execution. Homosexuality carried the same penalty as murder. What would you do if you saw someone trying to murder someone, pulling a gun on them in a public place? You would have a responsibility to do what was in your power to stop it. And if a homosexual is trying to seduce, it might have been one of your young sons or going into that place. You've got every responsibility to grab a hold of that person and stop it and restrain them in some manner. Now, you might not have had the responsibility to beat him to death. You might not have had that right. And he didn't go that far. But I can understand the righteous indignation that would well up within the man. But I'm telling you to do something to bring them to justice. The problem is in this nation, there is no justice against a homosexual. But a message needs to go out. What are we supposed to do? Sit by in some passive manner? Oh, well, what is it? We've done that too long. And you may not be a Brother Powers. I don't know what I'd have done in a situation like that. But I pray the Holy Ghost just fills me. If He makes me a Samson at that moment, I'll do whatever God lays upon my heart to do. I'm ready to do that. I'm not telling, but we have got to get out of our mindset that this is just an alternate lifestyle. No, it's a criminal act. You know, the AIDS that has come to this nation has been introduced by homosexuals. I'm telling you that our health has been jeopardized. And what they are doing, the man shared with us, one of the things they're doing across this nation is they are working to pollute our blood banks. Purposely, homosexuals are working to pollute our blood banks because their blood is contaminated with AIDS, and they're working to go in and you have to sign papers and whatnot, and they're working to purposely pollute the blood banks in America. They're a militant people. What are we to do? Sit by and passively let it go on? I don't think so. At some point, it's got to be stopped. At first, you stop the crime, then you try to reach them with the gospel. But if an act of crime is in progress, you and I first have a responsibility to reach out and to do what we can to stop that injustice that is immediately taking place. Somewhere, and I don't know all the extent of that. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm just telling you that we cannot be passive. That's what I wanted to get to you. God, I certainly wasn't going to condemn the Brother Powers. And once he did, I'm telling you somewhere that the American people, and I think there's a majority of people in this nation don't want the mess. But the problem is we've just been passive and sit back and let it go so long that we're just letting this mess slide. And we've just become so inactive and passive in our lifestyles. Oh, well, be what will be, will be. And you and I, it is time for us. I'm giving you our own personal rally here this morning. Just take a stand against the mess that is going on. In what ways we can find to do that? Will you work with me and the pastors of this church that together we can find ways to let the community know if we are not stirring up anything in our area, we're not doing anything. And I think it's time we stir up something. I really do. I think it's time. And I think we've been doing that in some regards, but I think it's time to do it a little bit more. God met with us Saturday night or Friday night in the rally. We heard from this man. I'd like to get that man to come and speak if I could. They visit these college campuses. I'd like you to hear his story personally. I'm telling you, the man is amazing, the things that he's put up with. And we may just get him to come and speak at some time and share with you what he is enduring, because there's a lot of statistics that he shared of things that were going on that would just about boggle your mind. Of what's happening with the homosexual movement in this nation. It'll boggle your mind. But I'm telling you that they are destroying our society and our nation. Because that's the nature. That's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Because had he not destroyed those cities of the plain, it would eventually destroy the cities that were around it, because that sin is extremely destructive. Amen? Brother Powers spoke that night and talked about, actually spoke about the, I don't know exactly how he titled it now, but it was about the sin of silence. And David talked about in Psalm 119 that I will speak of our testimonies before kings. You and I can't afford to be silent. We have got to not be silent any longer. Wherever we have an opportunity, on your jobs, in the streets, when you hear people talking some of this mess, you have a responsibility to stand up where they are and say, that's wrong. You may be made fun of. I'm not going to say maybe. You will be made fun of. You will be mocked. But what are we to do, church? What are we to do? Are we to just sit by and say, well, I can't do it? Pray for the Holy Ghost. If you get full of the Holy Ghost, He'll give you the boldness you need. Get full of the Spirit of God and He'll help you stand up and tell folks, no, you're wrong. That's not the way it is, and that's not what you should be doing. Homosexuality is a sin according to the Bible. It's a crime against humanity. It's a crime against society. Amen? Stand up. And we had a tremendous night. Fire God really moved. No, sit down. I'm almost done. You're not that anxious, are you? I'm sorry. Take a stand. Stand up against sin. All right, sit down for a minute. I'm just about finished. Oh, hallelujah. We just say amen this morning. God's good, isn't He? Hey, thank you, Brother John. That's right. At least you're awake. You're paying attention. It was my fault in communication. I'm sorry. I'll share one more thing and I'm going to close. Saturday morning, Brother Powers asked me to speak. We had about 40, I'm roughly guessing here. I didn't count them, around 40 ministers or so. I didn't know I was going to until Thursday night. He asked me, and he does that to just go to the conferences, and he just asks various people sometimes to speak. I really had asked the Lord to help me in what He wanted, and I had something prepared. And then Friday or Saturday morning when I got up, God gave me something else, and I exhorted the ministers from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 about tearing down strongholds, and that we've got to learn to think biblically. The Lord really helped me out for, I don't know, about 40 minutes, I'd say. And I was sharing with them about a few things about how we need to change some of our perspectives in the gospel. I shared with them that we need to go further than this business of just homosexuality. We need to go back to the roots of homosexuality, which is feminism. We didn't get to homosexuality until we first of all started cross-dressing and started confusing the gender roles between men and women. And whenever the men and women started competing and we started losing the distinctions between genders and between men and female, it was that mess as the roots. Homosexuality is the fruit. The root is feminism and the confusion of our sexual roles and our created order. That is where it began. And I said, that's where we need to get back to in the church, is to finding out the roles that God would have us to play in our homes and in our churches and in our societies, men and women fulfilling their biblical order and their biblical roles. And I shared about some things about the gospel of the kingdom. And what Brother Doug was getting at this morning, I believe, in the few statements that he made to you, and that it's not just about going to heaven. It's not just about, sure, we're going to go to heaven, and we do want to. We ultimately, I know we use that, I think, sometimes. It's just that we intend to make it and to get to heaven, but heaven is not really our goal. Our goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Our goal is to live our life under the rule and government of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel that makes men come to bring their life to live under the rule of Jesus Christ. It's not just about whether I go to heaven and miss hell, because people say, oh yeah, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't figure I'm going to die today. I figure I got 20 more years to live. I'll put that mess off until a year down the road. No, you're living right now in rebellion against the King of Glory, and that's the only kingdom that's going to survive through the ages. You need to learn to live your life in that kingdom. Repent and enter the kingdom of God. That's the message for the hour. And I preached and the power of God fell. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know that I've ever had it happen before. But the power stated, he said, we've had several conventions. This is the first time we have ever experienced this before. We were in the cafeteria. We'd had breakfast together. They fixed us a nice breakfast, beautiful breakfast. And Brother Powers exhorted a little bit about Africa. And then I spoke. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. We were at one end of the cafeteria. And at the other end was the kitchen. And where they had a counter, and then, you know, where they serve behind that, the kitchen area and the counter, and people go along the counter. Well, there were probably half a dozen women. They cooked breakfast and then they were working on lunch and cleaned up working for the lunch that afternoon, for about noon. And the power of the Holy Ghost literally filled that entire cafeteria. And I think it's one of the first times in my life that I believe it literally was an Acts chapter 4 experience, where the Bible said that the Holy Ghost fell and filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Every preacher, every minister was on their feet, hands raised, and we begin to hear a noise come out of the kitchen. I'm telling you, the women started shouting. Sister Powers came out of it. Brother Powers said, I'm never. She come out of that kitchen area shouting and dancing in the Spirit, and people all over speaking in tongues and praising God and shouting. I don't know that I've ever seen it where I believe it was 100%. Absolutely everyone was just filled with the Spirit of God. It was a move of God, and that went on for some time. As a matter of fact, we started breakfast at 8 at 9 o'clock, probably started around, I don't know, 10 or so with the ministering. And I'm telling you, 12 o'clock, people are coming in for lunch, and we are still praising and magnifying God. It was an amazing thing that took place. And Brother Powers said, I've never seen it happen like this since we have been having convention. And what it let me know is God's doing something. He said God had spoke to him and told him, this is not going to be by any great name preaching. He said, this is going to be by a bunch of basically nobodies that God's going to put together to do a work. And men that you didn't even know, but you felt a unity that God was putting men together to do a work, that just willing to come together, no big eyes, no little you, just come together and do the work of God, each taking his own talents and his own abilities to share and do what they can in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was an amazing move of God's Spirit, just an amazing move. And I had a friend there from Charlotte that I had not seen in 17 years. He was there that morning, and it was so good. He's resigned his position and left the church where I was at in Charlotte, and there. And just I can't share all that with you, except to say there were a lot of things that were spoken against this minister. There were a lot of relationships that got severed through unjust statements 17 years ago. We didn't retaliate. We didn't say anything back. And we just held our peace and plunged ourselves into the work here. 17 years from now, God's turned it around. And he's brought things out to show where righteousness was at. Folks, if you put your judgment in the hands of God, God will make sure it's taken care of. Amen. So there was just a lot of things, and I believe this brother's going to come visit us, and I invited him to come. He's going to come visit us, and just amazing things that God is doing. I believe we're going to see some changes in this church. I know we're going to see some changes in our church. You pray for this preacher. You pray for all your pastors that we will be able to preach to you what we need. And that we can be able, through the grace of God and under the leadership of Jesus Christ, take this church in a direction that needs to go. And my encouragement and my challenge to you this morning is this: get on board. Get involved. Get in tune. See what the Spirit's dealing. Get full with the Holy Ghost. Get full of God. Dig in your Bible. Train your children. Make your houses a place of righteousness. Don't be critical. Don't look around you to find fault. Don't look around to see what you can do to find where somebody's not quite doing it right. No, sir. If you truly find a brother that's in a sin, then take care of it in a biblical manner. But hear the Word of God. And first of all, concentrate on being all you can be. That's the most I'm trying to do, first of all, before I can take heed to this flock. Biblically, according to Acts chapter 20, God tells me to take heed unto myself and then to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made us an overseer. And I take it very seriously. Then I felt it this morning, even I was coming. God's going to give this church an opportunity. He is giving this church an opportunity to be a part of a tremendous thing that God's going to do in the end time. And if we will get on board with it and get filled with the power of God and plunge in and hear what God is saying and reach out, brother, we're going to see some fruit from knocking on doors. I'm telling you, we're going to see some fruit. You folks are going to see some fruit where you're at. You don't have to go out and knock on doors if that's not where you feel your calling is. That's fine. But you're going to have to do something somewhere. It may be on your job. It may be among your clientele. It may be among your friends. It may be your neighbor. But we're going to have to do more than sit in our homes. We're going to have to find some avenue whereby we're reaching a hand out across the street to touch somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ and stir up our neighborhood. If they don't follow, if they don't listen, their problem. But one thing about it, they will have heard that Jesus is right and that sin is wrong and the gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, and that includes the United States of America.
Amen.
We called Brother Angel while we were in the hotel room. I'm sorry, it's longer than a message. Forgive me. Called Brother Angel while we were in the hotel. Got a call from him to call him. This was Friday morning. Please pray for them. God's doing wonderful things. The devil's working too. And it just seems like we saw some progress with their child, Karen, and then everything. We did see progress. And it seems like overnight it just wants to turn the other way. They really need some guidance and help with this child. Basically, she has rebelled against their authority and she's rebelled against God. I'll keep it that simple. I'm not going to go into all the details, but she really needs your prayers. She is so naive to what's happening in the world, but she has come under some influence. They have tried their best to keep her from it. But there were some problems early on and some failures, some things that just didn't get turned around like they needed to, and some things that mom and dad didn't pay attention to. Now it's a struggle. And I'm not saying that to be critical. I'm just telling you it's not all the child's fault. They know that. But you're here at this place. What do you do now? Well, you learn from your mistakes, but now you've got to deal with the situation. So pray for them. They want your prayers. They covet the prayers of this church. And pray for Karen. I firmly believe God's going to turn it around. I firmly believe that. We've got to go to God in faith and ask God to do it. But Brother Angel called Brother Salgado. I think his name's Salgado. I said Sagrado, but I think it's Salgado. Jose Salgado, in Rio Bravo, where we just came from, he shared with us that the mafia has become so violent there. And he shared that it actually happened. My understanding is it actually happened while we were there. We don't realize how much God really took care of us. That four or five of the buses, while we were there, had been hijacked. They took the people off and they shot them. They killed them. And we were supposed to go back in May to a preacher's conference. He has canceled that conference because it is so, right now, so dangerous. And the mafia is so active. They're just pulling people off. And it's almost as certain that the bus we were on, that the young men got pulled off, it's almost certain they were killed. I'm telling you, church, God was with us that day. And I realize now how the Holy Ghost stopped that man in his tracks and didn't let him go any further, because we were right in the midst of that killing when it was going on. And he says, it got so bad that I just right now, I wanted to settle down before I invite anybody to come. But I want you to pray about that, because those people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. But it's got that bad. And the mafia is just, I don't know, they're just whatever, going on a killing spree or what, but it's just a terrible thing that's taking place. I want you to pray. God is doing good things. The Coddles had a good trip, and the Camachos are upbeat. Brother Angel told me, he said, Brother Woods, I'm just going to fast and I'm going to pray and I'm going to put this thing in God's hand. He said, he was already telling me I'm on a 3-day fast now. He's fasting and praying. Sister Elvis said, you know, we're fasting and praying, and God's going to do it. Let's pray with him. Amen. Let's ask God to do it. He's going to turn it around. And he said, we're here. We're here to do God's work, and we're going to give all we've got to Jesus Christ. That's all the Lord asks of us, is to give all we've got to Jesus. And God, but folks, anywhere the devil, please listen to me, anywhere the devil can find a little foothold, he'll find it. And that's what he's done. And he's found a little foothold in a child. And doesn't even understand all that's going on. Can I tell you something? If you've got any rebellion in you, if you've got any resistance to the Holy Ghost, and if you've got any resistance to God's Word, you can be a channel for the devil to use to fight against the work here in this church. We need 100% submission and yielding. Guard every attitude. Watch everything you do. Guard every sense of your spirit. Don't you allow children you listen to that God can use you to destroy a work in this church. Don't you resist the authority of your parents. Wives, don't you resist the authority of your husbands and church. Let's not resist the authority of church leaders wherever we are at. Let's keep ourselves under authority, especially the authority of God's Word. Especially the high supreme authority, because I feel it very strongly. If we've got any area we think, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a little some personal thing we get. But what happens is the devil says, ha, I got someone's discontentment. If you are discontented, the devil will work in your discontentment to do something to destroy and work against this church. I say no. Let's be happy. And oh, I'm going to be contented wherever I'm at. It may be a struggle. It may be things going apart around me. But I'm going to be thankful that I'm here, and I'm going to give everything I got to the work of Jesus Christ, and you and I are going to see a move of God. If we give 100%, God's going to give us more. He's more ready to give revival than we are to receive it. He's more ready to do a work than you and I are ready to receive it. Let's give all to God and see God do a mighty work in this hour.
Amen.
God did not bring us 17 years to come to this place and this thing to fall apart. And He did not put every one of you in this church today for you just to get upset or something. And I don't know that we have anybody upset. I'm just telling you what, there's areas that I see, and the enemy can work. If we get these little things, it may just be a little old personal grievance. And if you don't get that thing taken care of, that little personal grievance will be used by the devil to destroy this church. And God says, if any man destroys the temple, him will God destroy. King James Version says the word defile, but it's the same word as destroy. Whoever destroys the temple, him will God destroy. And that's in that context. If you and I are found in any way to destroy this church, God will destroy us. Amen? I want to build it up. I want to love you more than ever. I want to work with you more than ever. I want to be a faithful minister to you. I want to be a faithful brother to you. I want to be faithful to my God in this pulpit. And I'm seeking to stay on my knees as much as I can, church, before the Lord, and see a move of God. And if we'll all do that together, if you've got questions, get them answered. If you've got a problem, get it solved. Don't sit and dilly-dally with it. The longer you let it ride, the more problems it's going to cause. Get it fixed and move on for Jesus Christ. Amen. Get your conviction settled in the Word of God. Don't let the devil put doubts any longer. Get it settled. Get your belief founded. And dig in and let's see a move of God in this house. Now you can stand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God forevermore. Whew, God is good here this morning. I'll preach to you here in a little while this afternoon the message I was going to share. I hadn't planned on sharing that, but I got down to pray this morning early. And I said, God, I'm full. I don't know what in the world. So much has happened this week. I'm just full. And what am I going to share when I get there? And so you'll just have to put up with what I was full of this morning to share with you. Because this is where we are, church. And God's got a door open before us. Amen. I believe today's our fasting lunch. Am I right? Today is our lunch fasting day. So we're going to devote this afternoon to prayer. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to take a moment and dismiss you. And if you need to go first to the restroom or something, and whatever you might need to do for a few moments, and then I want you to work your way back into this sanctuary, and we're going to get our needs. All right, don't go off somewhere in fellowship. Just get on back, do what your business, take care of what you need to. Some of you need to take care of your little ones or whatever, and feed them. That's fine. You do whatever business you got to take care of, and then let's get back in here and let's get on our knees before God. That fair enough? Amen. Let's do it. God's good to us. Before I let you go, is there anybody that would have just a quick question about anything?